turn to your neighbor and say, God is with you.
God is with you.
Now repeat after me. God is with me.
God is with me.
See, God promised to never leave us or forsake us. Do you know why he told us that? Because he knew there was going to be some crap storms coming. Right? He knew life was going to get hard. He knew things were going to hit the fan. And it's not pretty, is it? He said, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. It doesn't matter where you go. You know what? And I can tell you right now, no matter how far I ran, he never left. I tried to leave, but he didn't. He wouldn't. Well, I tell you what, I'm getting some really in-depth revelations. I've been studying. I ain't going to tell you what. That's coming up. But I'm getting a whole new revelation of God and what it means to love. And I can promise you right now, folks, we ain't even close. We're not even close to the love of God. You know, we just sang, and may the life of God and the peace of God. You know, the peace of God, Jesus said, and I believe it's John 14:27, he said, my peace I leave with you, a peace that the world cannot give. It's the same word we've been looking at. We're going to hit it again real quick today. But I want you to understand, in all that's going on, hold on to the peace of God in everything that's going on. Amen. I wanted to, before I get everybody going on their ways, I wanted to, how many of you saw the post I put on Facebook the other day about the 104 people arrested for human trafficking? I'm telling you, folks, that's what happens when we pray. Now, most of you are aware of the situation that took place this week in Marion, but for those of you that don't know, the family has let it out. But Maddie Jordan was, somebody tried to kidnap her at Walmart. She was able to get away. She got hold of Greg Perry, and Greg called the cops, and they got over. They arrested him that night. But I need you to understand something. This guy has been arrested for almost the exact same thing before, and he's gotten away. However, the difference is we started praying for justice. This is why we saw people like Mike Davis from 10 TV arrested for child pornography. It's why there was a doctor arrested in Akron for human trafficking. A doctor! It's because God's people dare to pray his will. His will is always justice. We need to understand that. We don't rejoice in the sins. We'll talk about that. But we're not going to rejoice in that. We're going to rejoice that people are saved and pray for them as well. So I just wanted you to be up aware of that, because God is moving. God is moving in this earth, and it's but because his people dare to pray. Amen? And now let's bless the tithe and offering. Heavenly Father, we thank you and we praise you, Lord, for your goodness, your kindness, and your mercy in our lives. Now, Father, we pray that as we've stood in the gap for those who are unable to stand, Father, that you will move miraculously, Father, that this is not the end of the human trafficking arrests, Father, and not only the arrest, but, Father, the release of all the people who have been stolen. Father, that they will be returned to their families safe and restored in Jesus' name. And now, Father, we thank you and praise you for all the wonderful things you've done in our lives. And, Father, as a token, we bring to you our tithe and our offering. Lord, I bless it according to your word. Receive it now. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. All right, you may be seated, and the super kids are dismissed. Just a quick shout out to everybody who was able to come and help yesterday. We got a lot done. We got more done than I thought, and some things took longer to do than others, and as it turned out, we got a lot of little things off our list, and got some things situated so we can keep moving on some of the projects next in between the buildings. So, but again, I know on behalf of Tim, thank you. So, anyhow, all right. A couple weeks ago, I started talking to you about removing the stones. Remember? Now, I know a lot of people over the years, well, the stones are sin. We're talking about two different things. I used it as a metaphor completely, not away from that parable. The stones that get tilled up in us are the things that not necessarily are sin, but they're things that are holding us back. Things like memories. Things maybe you've done that you can't forgive yourself. You've got to let God deal with them. You've got to let God work them out. You've got to let God pull them out. And you've got to give them to him and let him have them. Quit saying, oh, God, I'm going to, you know, I think I like that rock that you put in that wall. I'm going to put it right back here. You got the ground all tilled up. Because remember, we taught about how praise and worship tills the ground. It plows the ground up. And it starts exposing things. And when you deal with them, deal with them. Don't say, well, I'll deal with that tomorrow. Tomorrow may not come, folks. There's not one of us here promised that. Now, but as we got going on, God began to just not necessarily changing directions because, as I've told you, the word just circles back on itself the whole time. If anybody tells you it don't, they're full of bull. Walk away. Because the word always points us to God. And God is love. And that is the message of the Bible. It's not finances. It's not getting healed. It's not casting out demons. It's not knowing the future. It's not speaking in tongues. It's none of that. Although all those messages are in there. The Bible always points us back to love. Not the love of money, the love of fame, but the love of God. And so we started looking in Galatians chapter 5 last week. So go ahead and open your Bibles if you got them. I would encourage you to bring one. Because one of these days technology may fail. Oh, wait a minute. It usually does. It's a great thing until it fails. Like last week, my battery went dead 27 minutes into the thing. So we only have a little bit of the message. So I got to redo the whole thing. All right. So no, I don't. But I am going to hit some of the words real quick. Let's read this. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such, there is no law. If you read a couple verses above this in your Bible, you will see that the Bible says, Paul told the Galatians, that the works of the flesh, works multiple, envying, lust, lying, all this garbage, that is what he called works. But this was interesting. He said the fruit of the Spirit is love. The Spirit produces love. Why? Because God is love. And I believe that this should actually, it really does kind of show it, that these are all the attributes of love in reality. Because I'll prove it to you next week in 1 Corinthians 13. These aren't different fruits because it says fruit. If you go to an apple tree, do you say, oh, look at all them fruits? No, it's all the same fruit. Just apples. It's fruit, singular. That's what love produces. Love produces joy. Love produces peace and long-suffering, kindness, goodness, all of this. But the word here for love is not eros, philos, or any other word that we use for love. It is agape, which is a word that was rarely used because they had it, but they had no reference for the word agape because the word agape means a love that is undeserved. As a matter of fact, it goes to love, affectionate, regard, goodwill, benevolence, used in reference to God's love. So if you didn't know God, you didn't know this kind of love. Because this love does not exist amongst human beings. Our love is always selfish. Always. Don't nobody come up at the end of the service and argue with me because I'm in a good mood today. I will argue back. Our love is always selfish. What can I get out of a situation or a relationship? That's what we look at. It is God's willful direction toward. Now this is in God. Now don't go saying, well, I got to be like this. You ain't God. There's attributes of love that you aren't supposed to be dabbling with. When people get into that, they start crossing lines into manipulation and, I dare say, witchcraft. Because that's what witchcraft is manipulating people. It is God's willful direction toward man. It involves God doing what he knows is best for man and not necessarily what man desires. See, we needed a king, right? We needed a deliverer. So God sent a baby. And all of Israel shouted hallelujah. No, they didn't. They said, are you kidding me? We need a king to deliver us from Rome. I read something the other day in a historical writing. It was Israel that reached out to Rome to be an ally. I never knew that. Israel reached out. Because they needed an ally. They weren't big enough to defend themselves. And they were getting people, it's in the third book of Maccabees, something like, I think is where it's at, which is historical writing of the Jews. But they wanted free now from Rome. Isn't that funny? They wanted free from Rome, but they didn't turn to God. They went to the latest, greatest thing. And at the time, Rome was not as perverse as it was about to be. But love is a new trait. It's a new attitude. This kind of love transcends anything we have a comprehension of. Oh, I think I can get it. Really? Wait till somebody shoots your dog and then tell me. Well, that's just unacceptable. Yeah, you love your dog more than your neighbor. I know I just hit a sore spot with a lot of people. I love my dog. Don't get me wrong. But I don't love him more than my neighbor. He bites my neighbor. But we have a tendency to not be able to fully understand God's love because we don't know it. First off, because we've been teaching that these are all different fruits. It's all the same fruit. Some of us actually have a tendency, though, we can grow greater in joy. Greek word kara. To rejoice, joy, rejoice in gladness. Oh, a lot of people like to come to church and rejoice, don't we? Man, we sing, shout, clap our hands, jump up and down, whatever. But then we forget it going outside. We forget to let that remain in our hearts. Other people can go out there, but yet they might be lacking in peace. The word Irene. It means opposite of war. This is the same peace Jesus said, I'm leaving you. It's opposite of war. He said, the world can't give you this peace. State of tranquility, health, welfare, prosperity, every kind of good. We know the Hebrew word for this, shalom. When Jews enter into a house, they say shalom. Peace, prosperity, health, wealth, all that into this house. Jesus said, I'm leaving you this. It doesn't mean that the world around us is not falling apart. It's peace in a time of war. You don't lose your peace. See, when I joined the military, I joined during peacetime. A year later, we went to war. That was a little bit of a shock. I didn't expect that. Because, see, I was 5 when the Vietnam ended. I didn't have a real comprehension. Yeah, I know that just really set some of... Keith just kind of... But yeah. I was only 5. I had no comprehension of war. I knew about the Vietnam War, but I didn't understand even though I was alive during that time. I had family members killed there, but no comprehension. So I joined in peacetime. Hey, cool, we have a skirmish from time to time. Next thing I know, every base in the United States is emptied and they're sitting in the middle of a desert. It's when God began working on me. Long-suffering, the word macrothumia, Just so you know, I have 4 pages of notes on deeper revelation of this word, which, by the way, means patience. But the revelations I've got of this word alone, I think are going to help some of you. Because we just think, oh, I just got to keep putting up with people. I got to keep putting up with people. You need to understand putting up with people only goes so far. Even though this word does mean forbearance, self-restraint before proceeding to action. Huh? Yeah, there's action that has to happen, but it's self-restraint from not just going nuclear on somebody and then realizing, oh, hey, wait a minute. I didn't fully understand the situation. Anybody ever done that? Am I the only one? No, we've all done it. We blow up and we didn't realize there was more to the story. There's always 2 sides to every story. Always listen to it. Proverbs tells us a man is a fool if he judges a story by listening to one side of it. It's paraphrased. Well, I only heard her side of the story. How about we hear his side of the story? I ain't getting down on you women. I'm just saying there's 2 sides to every story. And if you come to me singing a song about one thing, I need to know both sides. I'm not going to say, well, yeah, you're right, and he's wrong. I've never heard him. I never heard what he had to say. He's got a different view of the situation than you do. And maybe he is totally wrong, and he is a jackass. I don't know. But I don't know both sides of the facts. I don't know the truth. Because guess what happens? The truth is revealed when you have both sides of the story. I can look in here and say, boy, I see all the smiling faces. Some of you are smiling. There we go. But you say, I don't see a bunch of smiling faces. Why? Because you're looking at the back of somebody's head, and all you see is my face. You see one. Here, I'll smile for you. Before proceeding to actions, patience in regards to persons, okay? This is a patience that is primarily dealing with people. Kindness. Christotis. I kind of started getting kindness and goodness mixed up last week, so that's why I kind of wanted to hit all this. Useful, profitable. It is the grace which pervades the whole nature, mellowing all which would have been harsh and austere. One's disposition, not deeds. Harmless as a dove, wisdom of a serpent. It went on to say about this word, and when it started talking about mellowing, as in as a man, the older he gets a little mellower. Now, we may understand some medical things that go on and kind of help that thing out, but there's something that comes when you do get a little bit older, isn't it, gentlemen? I can speak to gentlemen on this one. We were young and dumb. Thank you. Why is it only a woman came up with that? When we were young and dumb. We did stupid things. Would you jump off of a barn now, guys? No. I won't jump off my tailgate. The reason I won't jump off my tailgate is because I've jumped off of a barn. And it hurts, especially 40 years later. But it talks about a mellowing, and this is of your disposition, your character, not your deeds. You start thinking about things before you act and before you speak. Yeah, you may have wisdom, but sometimes the person's not able to handle what you have to say right then. So it takes, your wisdom has got to be useful and profitable, so you now have to temper it down and say, okay, wait a minute, they're not ready. Or maybe they're in a firestorm, they just come in, you know, hair on fire, and you offer up the information, and, well, I gave somebody some very good advice last week. They called me and said, I quit church today. I said, first off, you just left the one thing that can help you. You left your church. And then I started giving them advice on things that I knew in their life. And I gave them this advice, and they said, oh, thank you so much. I feel so much better now. Problem is, I guarantee you, not one word I gave them is going to be used. Because I've given them the same advice in times past. Their hair was just on fire. They didn't want to hear. They wanted to be calmed down. The truth of the matter is, God's demanding change in their life, and they're fighting it. They're resisting it. And you know what happens when you resist God? He resists you. Kind of like watching a football game, isn't it? You know, how about Ohio playing Indiana yesterday, right? They came out. I didn't get to see much of the game, but I did come in. The score was 41-10. Obviously, Indiana had scored. They weren't going to beat Ohio State, but they had resisted Ohio State and scored on them. But Ohio State came back and said, hey, we're going to resist you, and I'm going to intercept the ball on the 3-yard line and run it back 97 yards for a touchdown. Just so you understand, we're better. That's God. Are you following me? Did that one get through? You are Indiana, and God is Ohio State. I'm not saying God roots for Ohio State, just so you know. I don't know. Some people would say he roots for Notre Dame. I don't know. But what I'm here to tell you is God is better than you. God knows more than you. And God plays harder than you. And he will intercept your arrogance on the 3-yard line when you think you're about to get that score. And he's going to run it back and say, now listen to me and watch what I'm doing. All right. Goodness. Goodness is agathosyne. Active goodness. This is your deeds. Character energized, expressing itself in benevolence. Active good does not spare, however, sharpness and rebuke to cause good in others. Now, by the way, when it gives that sharp rebuke, it doesn't camp out on it. Now, Keith, you know what I told you. Do you think the disciples would have hung around much longer if Jesus had kept saying, come on? I mean, everybody likes to bring up, he went to his disciples and keep waking them up. Can't you tarry 1 hour? Just so you know, he was going to die very shortly. He was trying to get something point. But if he had kept that up from day one, he'd have had less than 12. Because we're people. So goodness is your good deeds. Benevolence. Helping somebody who can't help themselves. You see somebody whose yard needs mowed and they can't get out. Maybe their mower's broke. I don't know. Maybe they're sick. Go mow their yard for them. Don't ask them. Go tell them. Say, I'm going to mow your yard for you. Because I want to. Or you see something that needs fixed or something picked up. Feel free to do it. That is goodness. That is benevolence to others. That is your goodness characterized and energized as you were. It's doing something. Now, faithfulness is a Greek word, pistis. To win over, persuade. Subjectively meaning firm persuasion, conviction, and belief in the truth. That is why I cannot believe one side of a story. I've got to know all the facts. Because what I've always found out is usually the truth is right there in the middle. Because you and me, we will focus on what is important to us in a situation. We forgot or we didn't hear something. And we assume that the other person got it. But the problem is their mind shut down with rage. And they ain't listening to you anymore. They didn't hear a word you just said. So we got to be stand firm in the truth of the word. Some people pick and choose what they want to stand on in the word. Well, I want to stand firm on this. Hallelujah. Jesus is going to bless me with a mansion and a Cadillac. Hallelujah. Praise Jesus. You ready to pay for the insurance on that mansion and Cadillac? The taxes on that mansion and Cadillac? The repair bills on that mansion and Cadillac? Well, no, that's God's problem. No, that's your problem. He gave it to you. Everybody looks around and says, well, this is God's earth. You know, he's going to do whatever he wants to. No, God gave it to you. In Genesis, subdue the earth and bring it into subjection. It's ours. Everybody, I hate this world. I don't like the world system, but I do not hate this earth. God created it for me. Actually, he created me to rule it. So why are we running around preaching that we hate the world, this earth? Oh, hallelujah, my place is in heaven. Please feel free to finish reading the Bible. It says, and he comes back down and creates a new Jerusalem. We don't stay in heaven. A new heaven, a new earth. We're not going to stay up there. Not going to be floating around on clouds. Bring, bring, bring. I can only put up with that if it's electrified. A little bit of screeching. A little distortion. Now, gentleness. Greek word praeotes. It means meek, meekness, mildness, forbearance. Primarily does not denote an outward expression of feeling. Everybody, oh, just look at him. They're so meek. This is what we picture when we see meek. Somebody who's defeated. That's what we picture. Problem is, meekness has nothing to do with that. I've told you before, it does not equate to weakness. But an inward grace of the soul, calmness towards God in particular. If you're good with God, you're going to be good with the world. And I'm not saying they're going to like you. I'm going to say you're going to be okay. However, praeotes also encompasses expressing wrath towards the sin of man as demonstrated by Jesus. Now, again, that don't mean you're called to go out and start whipping people with a cat of nine tails. You will get in trouble. It means we don't tolerate it. I firmly believe that if the churches in this county back in 1989 or 90, whenever it came in, would have gotten together and unified in prayer. You don't have to get together around the town square. They start praying and believing against the lion's den. Instead of, we're going to picket, we're going to put up a big billboard. Do you know why they backed off? Because they got threatened to be sued. Because they were crossing lines that they weren't allowed to cross. They backed off. How about we start praying? Better yet, pray for the customers. They're caught in a trap. Pray for them. Guess what happens when people don't need a business anymore? It goes away. It goes away. A couple weeks ago, we got to sit with some ministers, and they were talking about how this church in particular, God told them how to start getting these businesses. And they started ministering God's love to these strippers. Not condemnation. God's love. I think even in one case, they offered daycare for free while they stripped. Well, that's a contradiction. Are you kidding me? They sowed the word of God into those children who in turn took it home to mommy. And said, mommy, you got to come hear about Jesus. All of those people are out of a job stripping because they got the owner of the club saved and he shut it down and created a restaurant. So now they could serve with their clothes on. But we think we got to have this great expression of going out and making a scene. By the way, I'm going to point out something. He was in the church when he did that. He was inside the temple walls. That's where the money changers were set up. Inside the temple walls, in the foyer. That's where the thieves and crooks were at. He didn't do it on a public street. He was in the church. He said, "My house shall be called a house of prayer, but you have made it a den of thieves and robbers." Jesus cleaned up the church. And we're not going to clean up Washington. We're not going to clean up Columbus until we clean up the church. When the church quits seeking power, when the church, we've got all the power. We sing the song, "He's got all the power you need," right? That's not power to woo. That's power to speak to the mountains and say, "Move." Human traffickers, justice. We demand justice in Washington and in Columbus and in our state and in this county. Folks, if we hadn't started praying, I don't know that Maddie would be here right now. I don't know. Her family believes in God and trusts God. I do know that. But how many others have been taken under the same circumstance? How many others? Because the church says, "Well, what can we do? We can just pray." You don't understand the power you have. You want power? Right here's where we have the power, on our knees before God Almighty. I'm not going to go pick it. It's a waste of time. Why? Because I get violent. If you think this is violent, this is nothing. I will fight. And I don't want to do that because that's not what God has. I don't want to die by the sword because I'm stupid. That's what Jesus meant by that. I'm not going to, no, not happening. I believe in defending myself, of course. That's why I carry a gun. Don't carry it because I want to hurt people. For an emergency. Just like why you have fire extinguishers on the walls. For an emergency. Anyhow. Does not, praeotes, gentleness, does not blame good for the persecutions or evil doing of men. It is not the result of weakness. In other words, folks, God's not why you're being persecuted. It's because you believe in God. But he's not the one doing it. He's not the one kidnapping people. "Oh, but they're such a good person." There you have it, folks. This is what you have when you have good people. Jerry Epstein. Listen, I'm not the only one that believes this. Bahamas are about to get hammered again. I personally have a feeling about that. Do you guys want to know where Jerry Epstein's pedophile island is? You know who called it pedophile island? All those people that live on those islands. They knew what was going on. They knew they had underage girls in there. And they knew what they were doing to them. And they turned their back. You have a responsibility when you know. And if you alert the authorities and they don't do anything, you start praying. You start taking, and matter of fact, don't even just wait. Start right then and there. Because I promise you, the perversion is going up higher than we can imagine. When it's all said and done, there's going to be people who are like, "But they were such a good person. They gave to charity all the time." They're manipulative people. That's not saying that everybody gives to charity is a pervert. I'm just saying that's how some people use it to cover. It is not meekness is not the passivity of the second beatitude, Matthew 5:4, where it says, "Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted." When you mourn, why do you mourn? Because you've been devastated. But the activity of the blessedness that exists in one's heart from being actively angry at evil, as in the next one in Matthew 5:5, where it said, "Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth." It means we can hold off and wait. Again, there's so much more I'm going to get into when we head into Corinthians. According to Aristotle, praeotes is that virtue that stands between two extremes, orgelates, uncontrolled and unjustified anger, and ergastia, not becoming angry at all, no matter what takes place around you. I personally can't understand the second one. I'm like, certainly there's something that gets your goat, something that riles you up, injustice. Well, you know, que sera, sera. Come here, I got K and sera, sera. You know where we can put them. Because anger is actually a passion, and the Bible tells us to be angry and sin not. Okay? We have to act, but this praeotes is right there smack dab in the middle. It's waiting. It's calculating. I agree. We can't just run off and when we get attacked, run off blindly and attack. That is one of the first things they tell you not to do, is run off blindly and follow an enemy into the jungle. You don't know what trap they got laid, right? But I'm also on the opposite side of the thing. It says, tell them when you're coming. Am I the only one that seems to see that as a brain cramp? That's what we did, by the way, to Iraq. By the way, we're going to come in at such and such time on such and such date. What a joke. Turn military strategy over to generals who know how to win wars, who kick butt and take name. That's all I got to say about that. All right, next word, next and last word on this. You guys might get out early today. Self-control. Greek word, ekratia. Continence, temperance, self-control. Ekratia is the virtue of a man in whose heart Christ lives. This makes it possible for you to live in this world and keep yourself clean from the world. Temperance. We think suddenly tolerance. We just tolerate everything. There's so much you tolerate a little bit. But what temperance is actually a blending. See, so much of the church, I've always used this term, they're so heavenly minded, they're no earthly good. But they're out of touch. The Amish community is one of them. They're out of touch. I don't care. I know plenty of Amish. They're out of touch. Using a phone is a sin, but boy, they'll bless God, they'll use yours. They'll ask you to drive them from Timbuktu to Kalamazoo. But yet, it's a sin having that car. Oh, hey, it's a sin to have a tractor with rubber tires. They'll put steel tires on it and tear up your road. That's just one group. I'm just saying. It just happens to be a group that's big in this area. Self-control is temperance. Well, I just don't believe, Pastor, that God would have us listening to rock-type music. Well, here's what we'll do. We'll use the electric guitar in the church only. How's that? I can live with that, Pastor. Jimmy Swaggart tried that, by the way, back in the 80s. Found a new toy in the devil's toolbox. It's called Christian rock and roll. And if you listen to it, you're going to hell. He had the exact same instruments on the stage and sometimes played them the exact same way. Come on. Well, Pastor, I don't think long hair is of God. You really haven't seen probably a picture of Jesus, have you? Jesus wasn't a Roman. Paul was a Roman. That's why Paul said, keep your hair short. Paul was a Roman. Jesus was a Jew, a Nazarite to boot. Anybody remember anything about the Nazarites? You couldn't cut your hair. Oh, by the way, they also had 7 braids, right? Remember, we read about more of this about in Samson's story. More than likely, they weren't real braids. So I think it was Karen. She was watching a show one time about the Bible, and they depicted Samson having dreadlocks. From what I know about them, you really don't want dreadlocks. They nasty. Our Lord, our Savior, was not a good-looking man. He probably didn't smell the greatest. He took baths in the creek, didn't always have soap or anything to anoint himself with. He didn't have all that all the time. They didn't have deodorant. Antidepressants. Yeah, they didn't have them either. Antiperspirants. They didn't have all of that stuff. He may have walked barefooted a lot, wore sandals, had stinky feet. Well, I don't believe Jesus would have had stinky feet. You walk around where cows and sheep and camels and donkeys and horses poop in the roadways. Is there any farmer that's found a way to walk where animals have been a lot and not step into poo? Anybody figured out how to levitate over it? No, you get it on you. Imagine now that your shoe is a sandal, a lace-up sandal. So that should put the whole foot washing thing that Jesus did in perspective for you. Sweaty, stinky leather. Oh, if they were wearing shoes. And the green stains, well, you can thank the camels and the sheep for that. That's a different subject, different day. But acradia is a self-control. It's tempering. When a blade is tempered, it's exposed to extreme heat and then cooled down immediately. And what does it do? It makes that blade hard and useful. If you're not self-controlled, by the way, here, this one's kind of a thing. In dealing with temperance, in particularly, Webster's Dictionary starts describing it, and every definition of the word temperance that it had, sexual control was number one. God's been giving me a revelation on why he wanted purity in sex. And why the earth is going to be judged because of it. The earth was judged Noah's time because of what the angels did. Sodom and Gomorrah got judged as well. Not just sexual sins, but sexual sins always go hand in hand with what's going on in the world. Israel got judged every time when they started worshiping idols. You want to know why? Every idol they worshiped, sex was a part of their worship. Get in it and study it. Baal wasn't an animal. Baal was a phallic symbol. And if you don't know what that word means, look it up. I'm not going to describe it to you. You're going to go, that's why God had a problem with it. Or just look around Rome. They got them all over the place. Anyhow, it is a control of base needs and desires, base needs such as affection, food, or drink. Well, we just talked a little bit about affection, right? Well, let's just love everybody. Well, guess what happens when you just love everybody? You end up with something that you can't pronounce. And you can no longer be committed to one person. Because just like that piece of tape, piece of tape loses its stickiness and it can no longer stick. Food. Well, here's a catch-22. Well, if we don't have any affection, we turn to food and drink. And we abuse them. Instead of saying, hey, whoa, wait a minute. I don't need this to comfort me. I don't need to drink to relax. That's a real problem, folks. People just need to learn to relax first. Desires. Respect, notoriety, fortune, things of that nature. Those are things that we go extreme on. Well, I've got to have respect, so I'm going to demand that you call me pastor and her first lady. Please. Don't start the first lady thing. I'll have to call her that at home. But you understand, when you force respect, you aren't really getting respect. I can't tell you how many boot Louis I knew that, you know, anybody else that was in the military knows exactly what I'm talking about. You get a boot Louis just got out of officer candidate school, and they come in and they don't know their head from a hole in the ground, and they come in, they're going to demand authority. And here you are, PFC, and you know more than they do, which, by the way, is an E2. He's just above a no-stripe private. Lowest of the low. You can't demand it. You got to earn it. You got to show that you did something. You got to lead like you're supposed to. Notoriety. Well, we're going to, best guy, we're going to build up the biggest church Morrow County's ever seen. Hey, how about we just focus on what God has told us and focus on the ones God's given us? Because I've told you before, I have seen a trend in this county that people who are not ready to fight it, there is a principality, which will have, if you not know anything about demons and spiritual powers, that's where it's involved. But it is a major controlling power in this county over religion, over churches. And typically when churches get up to around 200 people in this county, especially churches that are starting to preach the truth, they implode. They're done. Because the leadership wasn't ready for the attack that was coming. Because the word was not really being taught, because the preachers were actually trying to get notoriety. Well, I need to get on with this board. I need to get on with that. I need for people to know who I am. I don't want you to know who I am. I really don't. I don't want people to know. Because you know what happens when they know who you are? In my case, as a pastor, oh, brother, hey, you know, does your church help out the needy? Yeah. Well, my boyfriend and I, our mortgage is due next month, and we don't have it. Get a job? Get married? Yeah, thank you. Here's the first one. How about we get married? What happened to marriage? That's what they want. As I was standing back here, I was just looking around. I was like, oh, there's a few empty seats where people used to be. And as I started thinking about those were people that every time we turned around, they wanted us to pay a bill for them. They wanted us to bail them out of a situation. That's what they wanted. I don't have a problem helping you. But when you're in the same situation week after week and month after month, you need to make some changes. Well, my job. What's wrong with your job? I don't make enough. Anybody guess what my next thing's going to be? Find one that does. Well, I don't want to work that hard. Then you don't want any fixer to your problems. You don't want your problems fixed. You want me to fix your problem. And I'm trying to. I got all these kids. Well, I can fix your problem. I got some sheep shears in the barn. Bob's got Berdizzos. I know where they're at, where they were. We'll clamp them suckers. I'm just going to be honest with you. That's where we're at right now. We got people that have realized that it's better to go on welfare. They can make more money. Well, there's a problem with our welfare. Fix it. But they have no self-control. The church is like this. We don't have any self-control. I told you about being at a minister's conference one time, and I was in the back with the minister, and I was the host minister, and I was talking to him, and they had these little cake balls. Y'all have heard me talk about this. They're this big around, folks. It's a cake ball. No problem. They were really dense. And I had one of those, and he said, hey, Art, you know, he said, that is one whole piece of cake that was this big. He said, they crammed that thing down so tight. And I said, really? He said, yeah. I said, well, that would explain why I'm kind of feeling free right now. I'm riding high on a sugar buzz. And the guy behind me, I'm not going to say a little overweight, severely overweight, walked right up to there, and he put down four of them right there and had two more on his plate. And the host pastor said, did you not hear me say, tell him that that was one whole piece of cake? Oh, yeah. Walked off. He just walked off with half a cake. There's no self-control. I love ribeye steaks. Can you tell it's getting noontime? I love ribeye steaks, but you know what? I don't eat them all the time. I eat one maybe every 2 months, and then sometimes it turns out that I have two within 2 weeks just because something special happened. My birthday or whatever. My birthday, Father's Day, we just, it's like, woohoo! But I ain't had a chance to burn all the fat that I ate from the first one. But I don't eat them all the time. I enjoy them. We eat a lot of chicken, some pork chops. She's been trying to make me eat more salads. I prefer to eat what eats the salads. But I understand the benefit of the salads. I'm just saying, folks, self-control goes in all areas. All the way around. There are some people, I know Keith, he cut sweets completely out of his diet. At one time, I don't know if you've let him back in a little, but he had to, for him. And some of us, that may be what we have to do. You have to cut it completely out. I had to cut alcohol completely out. It had to go. We have to be able to control things. And when you cannot control it, you're in trouble. It's going to get you. And I'm not, yeah, exactly. Jesus said, cut it off. And I'm not talking about things that are full on sin. We know that. If it's sin, whack. Cut the thing completely out. But, and everything else, eat moderately. I mean, Proverbs even talks about it. Put a knife to your own throat if you know you're prone to this. We've got to be self-controlled as Christians. Well, bless God, I'm going to go out and I'm going to kick butt and I'm going to take names. How about we control that? That is the whole definition of the word discipline. The funniest thing to see are boot Marines, and I guess boot soldiers too, but I can only speak for the Marines. We come out of boot camp, man, bless God, we're ready to take on the world. We're going to kick their butts. We're going to take their name. When I got out of boot camp, Panama was going on. So guess what they were doing? Hey, y'all, you're in this course, but you may not get to finish this course. We need troops in Panama. You guys are going to be going. I'm like, wait, wait a minute here, man. I know I think I'm bad. But seriously, I still don't know what I'm doing yet. And it was always funny to see them. They come right out of a school, right out of boot camp. They're ready to take on, but they weren't controlled yet. But boy, when they got a little more controlled, they thought more. They strategized more. They thought about it. They didn't go chasing every rabbit into the woods. They went around the woods. I guess you're not getting out early. All right. I am done. But that's just, like I said, this is just the tip of the iceberg on God. This, you understand, this love, the word love is a very description of God's character. Who God is. How many of you want to know, how many of you have said in the last even month, God, I want to know you more? Well, hello, this is how you get to know him more. You get to know what they were talking about. We don't understand what these words mean because they put the best word we got. But now they've been able to decipher some of this stuff and they're like, hey, wait a minute, this was writing, I quoted you Aristotle. This was years before Christ. And he's describing this word. We have no comprehension of what macrothumia means. Big strength. I'll talk about that next week. But you've got to understand this. If you really want to know God, if you want a better relationship with God, you've got to know who He is. The whole point of dating was to get to know that person. And for Angela and I, it was through letters and a 10-minute phone call every 2 weeks at $20 a call. That's how we got to know each other. And yet there are people that think we shouldn't have gotten married. They don't know each other. I'm like, are you kidding me? I wrote 3 letters a week. She wrote, and by the way, there was a 2-week lap between there. You would have 6 other letters before you got a reply back to the first question you sent. And then by that time, you made the phone call, or I made the phone call home. The point being, you got to get to know them. When we dated, we talked about our dreams. We talked about our homes. We talked about where we'd live, what we'd want to do. You know the person. Not just after the first day, I'm going to marry this person. Although I've heard some people say that that was the person they were going to marry. I know, was it Brad Paisley? The first time he saw Kimberly, she was on the screen on, The Father of the Bride. The first time he ever saw her, he was on a date with another girl. He said to himself, I'm going to marry her. 5 years later, he met her. They're married and they've got kids. But they got to get to know each other. He fell in love with her looks. I mean, you could be pretty and all that, but boy, you could be a witch riding a broom with jet power. That's a whole another issue. Ladies, he might be smooth, suave, and sophisticated, but he could be Oscar the Grouch and smell like real trash. I'm just saying, you may not get what you think you got just by looks. If we're going to be honest, looks is what attracts us first. That's what, I mean, come on, if she'd have had a wart on her nose or something. I'm a man, you know I can't. Once you start in that downhill slope into that the abyss, you're done. All right, let's stand. Y'all laugh. When my mom mentioned her, I said, no, Mom, she listens to Sandy Patty. That's why I wouldn't go out and ask her out. She listened to Sandy Patty. After she came back with a White Cross concert with me, I asked her to marry me. I was like, hey, she didn't run. Good, because she's going to get a lot of heavy metal. Yeah. She's like, can we listen to something else? Oh, no, man, I'm on a roll. All right. This is how we're building the character of God. We got to know who He is first. In your prayer time, spend it talking to God. Let Him talk, answer you back. By the way, sometimes He uses His word, so you need to know the word. People, I don't hear the voice of God. Do you read your Bible? Oh, no, I don't think that's important. It is the voice of God. I've heard Him speak through that more than I've heard His audible voice, and I've heard that twice. So, just so you know. All right, let's pray. Father God in heaven, we are truly grateful for what You've done for us. Father, that You loved us even though we were undeserving of that love. Father, I pray now that You, as each one of us strives to get to know You better, Lord, that we will experience Your love. We will come to grips with that love and understand that You loved us in spite of ourselves. But that does not mean we are to stay the same, but that we will continue to change this character of ours into Your character. Help us to love the unlovable. And now, Father, I thank You for Your people. Lord God, I thank you for each and every person here today. I bless them. Lord, those who are sick among us, Father, I pray right now that you reach down, you touch them, you heal them right now. In Jesus' name, amen.